Hello and welcome to the 31st episode of the Extreme Sports Performance Podcast. My name's Ryan Blake, I'm the founder and director of Extreme Sports Performance. In this episode, we're speaking to Helena Shirley. Helena is a sport yoga coach. We ask her the questions we ask all our guests. Who she is, what she does, where has she come from, what she's done along the way, what are the key moments from her career so far, what are her top areas of interest, what are the most valuable things she's learned, who are her top influences, what are her top resources for information, what are her top sports performance exercises or drills, what are her top pieces of advice in life, exercise and or sport, and finally, where can people find her? We freestyle a little bit in between questions as normal. Really enjoyed recording this one with Helena. Hope you enjoy listening to it. Here we go. Helena, thanks for joining us on the Extreme Sports Performance Podcast today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Please could you tell everyone who you are and what you do?
So my name is Helena Shirley. I'm a level 3 personal trainer and a sports yoga coach. I'm also a wife and a mother of 2 grown-up girls who are now 22 and 18. I'm also a graduate of business and marketing. I spent most of my working life as a marketing director for Technogym, the global fitness brand, and I was marketing director there and PR and sponsorship director for almost 15 years. So I've worked in the fitness industry for about 25 years in total.
Fantastic. So could you give us a little bit more detail into where you started out and your journey up to where you've got to now doing what you're doing?
Well, I've been involved in sport literally all my life. Both my parents were county tennis players and they were also PE teachers as well. So I started life as a gymnast from about the age of 3. I did it every day until I was about 11. And then I decided I'd follow my parents' footsteps and take up tennis. And within about a year, I was playing nationals tennis, training every day. And probably by the time I hit my 20s, my body was pretty broken because I had literally not played sport all my life and not done enough stretching. So I was in quite a lot of pain, actually, and it made me take up yoga in my 30s. And yoga's been quite a journey for me. I've been doing yoga for about 20 years now. And it was a really challenging thing to take up because I'm a competitive person by nature based on the sports that I play. And you go to yoga class, you're full of bendy, sort of older women, very stereotypical, I know, but that's exactly what it was like. And I felt very inferior, quite embarrassed, actually, because I couldn't do any of the moves. They were just, you know, way too hard for me. But I did persevere with it. I got myself a personal yoga teacher. I did videos and I just worked hard at the yoga. I guess I'm never going to be a bendy yoga teacher. But when I started personal training about 8 years ago, after my sort of corporate career at Technogym, I felt that there was just something missing as a trainer. And I knew I wanted to maybe teach people how to improve their flexibility and mobility. But I wasn't sure I wanted to become the fully fledged yoga teacher in terms of, you know, the meditation and the chakras and some of the more spiritual side of yoga. It's never really appealed to me in that way. It's more about how you can improve your body mechanics, your movement and really your mobility, because I was playing, again, quite a lot of tennis at the time and just getting niggly injuries. So I found a sports yoga course when I was up at the Om Yoga Show with my daughter Izzy, who also loved yoga, and I found Sarah's course. Sarah Ramsden she's been working in the Premier League for about 10 years, teaching sport yoga. She's a movement specialist, sports scientist, yoga teacher, and she developed a really great program for Premier League football players. So she works with Ryan Giggs and the Manchester City, Man U football teams, among many others. And she developed a course about 3 years ago, which was delivered through the Tri Yoga Centre. I did the course a couple of years ago, absolutely loved it. And ever since then, it's been my absolute passion. I love it. I probably have taught about 300 hours of sport yoga since doing the course. And I literally love it. Love doing it, love teaching it, love sharing it with people. It's my passion. And I just want to get that message out there and try and help as many, you know, young people and older people and anyone that's involved in sport or anybody that wants to start yoga and is just a little bit intimidated by, you know, regular yoga practice, because it's a great entry level.
Thank you for sharing that. So can you just tell us the main benefits then that sport yoga can provide to athletes in general, differentiate between maybe youth athletes or beginner athletes and pro athletes, and if there's any additional benefits that go into either those categories?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for you know, a more established athlete, somebody that's been doing their sport for many years, if flexibility and mobility have not been part of their sort of training schedule, which you'll be surprised, there are many athletes that haven't had that level of training, even though they have reached really high levels in their sport, then obviously they've done the same movements repetitively year after year after year, and they've just become incredibly tight in certain areas of their body. So it's about learning, helping them bring their body back into good joint mechanics. It's about helping them to lengthen out the muscles that have become really short so they can get better range of movement across their joints. And if their stability is poor, it's about relearning really good stability. And I think with young athletes, they're just a lot more, they probably haven't been doing the same movement patterns for quite so many years. So therefore, they're also younger, so they pick up things a lot more quickly. So I have, I run several classes of sport yoga, and I probably have young netballers, mainly primarily in my Tuesday groups, and they picked up everything really quickly. Okay, some of them are a little unstable because their bodies are growing really quickly. They haven't worked on stability. So I put a big focus on the stability element of their training, because obviously you can't work on flexibility and strength until you've established that really great core stability. With the older athletes, you know, I've worked with a lot of triathletes, people are doing Ironman. They're not necessarily elite level. Some are, you know, GB triathletes for their age group. They have just tended to get away with the bare minimum of stretches. They haven't really worked on developmental stretches. So it's about developing a really good flexibility program for them, not just after training, but also, you know, on their rest days. I think the learning curve's a little steeper as you get older, as you know.
In my experience, I mean, I think I never came across yoga or any form of, I suppose, mobility and flexibility training till I was probably in my mid-20s. And being male and being involved in, I suppose, the more macho sports like rugby and extreme sports, it wasn't really looked upon as really cool to do that kind of stuff when I was competing. But I definitely paid the price for that, because I had so many injuries, which I really do think, A, probably could have been avoided if I was more mobile and flexible, and B, probably could have healed quicker if my body was just more supple. So I do think that in my experience, there's been resistance with male athletes, especially young male athletes. And it's something which I think is improving just across the board, really. The culture of sport, I think more males or young lads are open to the benefits of this. And I will now try and include elements of mobility and flexibility into everything I do with all the athletes I work with. And there usually is resistance, because for the same reasons, they're either kind of a bit embarrassed, they may be a bit nervous, not very confident. But as soon as everyone tries it, they instantly love it and they instantly feel the benefits. Kind of on the other side of that kind of fence is the older athletes I work with, like, will spend a lot more, especially at a pro level, will spend a lot more time doing this preparation and recovery work in a greater quantities or volumes than we would do the strength and power side of things. Obviously, they're important, but as the body changes and ages, the demands are different. So I think there's huge benefits in it for everybody. It just needs to be presented and aimed at the right level for the people to get the right dosages and responses that they need.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting, because I have been approached, since I've been really making sports yoga my focus, by a number of fairly high profile strength and conditioning coaches who've recognised what I'm doing. And they've done my classes and they've said, wow, this really complements what we're doing. I mean, yes, we involve some mobility and stability and flexibility work in our training programmes, But with the sports yoga, it's all packaged up in a 1 hour program, really well delivered, really concise, and it just makes it a lot more doable. So interesting, I had 10 rugby players on my course last night who'd been introduced to it by the strength and conditioning coach who'd done my course the week before and said, right guys, you've got to do this. I haven't had their feedback yet, but they stuck with me and engaged for the hour, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be a positive response and they'll continue doing it with me for the next so many weeks and really get a flavour for what it's like to stretch their bodies well.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be nothing but positive. It's been a bit of a up and down year, as we all know, in just general life and sport lately with what's going on in the world. But when things were, I suppose, normal before it started, yoga became a massive part of our in-season conditioning and recovery for all the multi-sports that I'm involved with, particularly at a youth level. And it offered not just the physical benefits, but I noticed, and a lot of the athletes said it, offered them a lot of mental benefits as well. Have you noticed that with people you work with, the advantages for the mind as well as the body?
Yes, I mean, I'll be honest with you that the sports yoga is very much more about the body than the mental, because it's we don't do a huge amount of meditation, but the very breathing that we do with the sport yoga, which is very much inhale, exhale on every single move, it automatically brings you into that meditative state.
Yeah.
It allows the athlete to slow down, and that's what's key. Instead of them worrying about what their next training is or pushing themselves beyond their limits, which is generally what they're doing, it just allows them to take some time out. And if they just focus on the breathing and listen really carefully to my verbal instructions, and I promise you, through a full hour of the session, I literally give instructions every single second. So there is not a second. If they can tune in, usually the hour has passed and it has taken them down into that parasympathetic nervous state, where they're able to finish off the session with a really good flexibility, 15 minutes, where we just work on some developmental stretches. And that's kind of, I think, in that way, it's about that body and mind connection. And I think that sport yoga differs a little bit from the regular yoga because it just makes it accessible to athletes. Yeah. Whereas a lot of yoga, which you see on Instagram, where you've got these wonderful, bendy, fabulous, gymnastic-esque type girls doing incredible poses, the reality is that none of us, especially athletes, will ever get into those postures ever, you know. And that's not the yoga that I teach, and I can't actually get into many of those poses myself. In fact, I can't get into many of them. I'm more of an athlete that teaches yoga, and so I really understand what athletes need, because I still struggle with a lot of the flexibility work.
That's so important, and I think you've really hit the nail on the head there. Look, there's lots of things athletes can do. It's just choosing the right things for them to do at the right time. And I've been guilty of trying out new fads and things which I thought would be useful but really aren't. I think it needs to be efficient, but most importantly, it needs to be effective. And I think the fact that you've kind of, this has been branded sport yoga for athletes, is exactly what it needs to be, because it just needs to get the job done and get it done well. Whereas I think if, as you say, some athletes approached it from a different perspective or tried a different type of the same thing, probably wouldn't get the same benefits. One thing I've massively noticed is, as you alluded to just a second ago, is the calming aspect. Just purely from the state of being when they're doing it, and the breath when patterns they automatically pick up or they have to pick up in order to successively perform these poses, can really calm down the athlete's anxiety or nerves, especially in and around big tournaments or competitions or periods of high stress, which is a huge advantage, really, especially to those more finely tuned athletes who need that in their daily practice. So would you say there are any kind of success stories that you've had or key moments, Helena, that you've experienced that you would like to share? Are there any really good examples of people who've benefited from this?
Yeah, I'll have to bring it fairly close to home because my husband is a GB triathlete.
Right.
He's also a stockbroker,
Right.
so
Is he
he's he work he works very, very long hours, spends a lot of time commuting, poor posture. He took up triathlon about 5 years ago and found he was just really good at it, and he did the World Championships 2 years ago. But in the run up to it, he still couldn't put his socks on. He is the most inflexible person. And the year previously, he'd had an Achilles injury and been to the physio, who'd given him calf stretches. And he'd religiously done his calf stretches and recovered very quickly from his Achilles injury. So when I did the sports yoga course, I said, look, I need you as my case study. And he was the best case study I could have had because, you know, to work with somebody so tight who had benefited from doing calf work. So his dorsiflexion was the only part of the stability test he actually passed with flying colors. The rest of his body was unbelievably tight, and it made me realize how difficult yoga is, even sport yoga, for somebody who is that tight, who runs, you know, hundreds of, well, maybe not hundreds of kilometers. He was certainly cycling a lot of hours, a lot of running, a lot of swimming, just really putting his body to the test, as well as doing a full-time job, you know, working maybe 40, 50 hours a week. So that's challenging. And the yoga really helped. But he said to me, 45 minutes is all I can manage. I can't concentrate for any longer. So that was a good lesson to learn.
Right.
And also over the 6 months that I trained with him, his flexibility improved in every single aspect across every single element of the flexibility test that I did with him at the beginning. So I normally do about, if I'm working with an individual, I do about 24 flexibility tests and a couple of stability tests. And on all of those, he made an improvement. So although it was very marginal because he was training so much at the time, so obviously the muscles were still, you know, remaining fairly tight, he did not get injured for 6 months despite the really heavy training schedule. And he came an amazing 22nd in the world, which out of about 200 over 50 athletes, aged over 50 athletes, was pretty impressive for somebody that's never done anything like that before. He's kind of my success story. Sadly, Ryan, he's rather sort of work's taken over since lockdown, and he hasn't been quite so good at doing his with me every week. He promises, and then work gets in the way. He's got injuries at the moment. And he said, oh, I should have been listening to you. I should have been doing your sport yoga. So he had to go to the physio and he was told to do a glute program. And I've been nagging him to do his glute program every day. So I'm feeling a bit smug.
First of all, well done, Andy. That is fantastic achievement, and there's also secondly, there's possibly no coincidence there. What happens when you stop doing something that's good for you? I've noticed that across the board with different people I've worked with as well, and a lot of people say it's always a time thing. I haven't got time to do it, but I think once you've experienced the benefits of it and you can feel it working, you make the time to do it. Like anything. So what would you say, Helena, like sport yoga is obviously your kind of main focus at the moment. Do you have any kind of sub focuses or other areas of interest in and around sport yoga which link together with it really well? More in terms of kind of health, fitness and wellness, lifestyle and or sports performance. I'd imagine that people who do lots of yoga also heavily focused on being healthy and well. And nutrition is obviously sometimes a big part of that. Have you experienced that with your clients as well? Is there a link?
Definitely, you know, it comes as a whole package. I mean, I started out as a personal trainer. I still am a personal trainer. I still have, you know, in between sport yoga sessions that I deliver on a group level, I still do personal training. I think as I'm getting older, because I'm no spring chicken anymore, I'm over 50, personal training and doing the more strenuous types of training myself on a daily basis, many times over, is hard. And actually, sport yoga is much more beneficial, not only for me, but also my client base, who is generally getting older. So the elements of sport yoga, such as like the spinal mobilization and the articulation programs, the stability programs that all form part of the sport yoga, I integrate them and weave them into my personal training a lot more now. And it just suits my client base. So, you know, I may have 60-year-olds, another of my sort of success stories is a 60-year-old banker. He spent his whole life in the city, did very little sport apart from tennis, really kyphotic. He was actually the chief exec of Bank of Canada, so really senior guy. And he came to me, he could hardly move. He'd never done personal training. He'd never set foot in the gym. And within a year, his posture's improved. His fitness levels have improved exponentially. He's lost a stone in weight. He's improved his diet. So many things have changed because he's also retired and now has the time to focus on his well-being. He's been a real success story for me, and he just feels great.
And one thing improves, you'll find others often do as well, by accident or on purpose as well. Yeah. Ultimately, for me, from my experience of applying this to athletes of any level, it ultimately maximises their opportunity to do more. If they can improve their performance and reduce their injury likelihood, they're going to maximise their opportunity to play their sport more, to be able to train, to get selected to play. But ultimately, I've heard lots of good success stories for athletes, like prolonging their careers as well. If they're more supple and they're more robust to force tolerance, they're going to last longer. And therefore, they're probably going to get paid more for longer as well. So there's lots of wins with this, but you can look at it from many angles.
I think injury prevention is one of the key drivers for many athletes for doing the yoga. Because like you say, if they're injury free, they can train longer. If they can recover faster from training sessions, and if they can be more efficient during their training because their muscles, you know, are longer, better oxygenated because they are more flexible, then it's a win-win all around, you know, and for, you know, a small sacrifice of time to dedicate to doing a session, which, you know, again, it just comes down to things that, you know, most trainers could or should be doing with their clients in terms of mobility and flexibility. It just packages it up in that sort of hour long class to make it a little bit more accessible. Yeah. And that's really all it is.
I think being interactive and being interesting, being fun to do is a massive part of it. And if you can combine things together and make them efficient as well as effective, it's going to be a win-win for everyone.
The linking moves in yoga make it quite interesting. Yeah. And that's what I love about it, because I'm the whole session really flows. And I have a little bit of a laugh about it as well. I'm not too serious. And I'm always giggling at myself because, you know, I sometimes can't get into the particular position, or I have to really open out my hips and get my hands in and, you know, try and just get a little bit wider into that warrior two pose, which is still quite a struggle. So if I'm struggling, I know they're struggling too. And that makes it a little bit more realistic.
Sure. As I said, my wife's heavily into it. Being Californian, she really got me into it when she moved over here. And I do it every day now, whether it's 15, 20 minutes in the morning for just back mobility, or it's some form of combination or balance or strength workout in the evening. I just notice if I miss just one day in the week, my body just feels tight and uncomfortable. So it's a massive part of my daily life now. So what would you say, Helen, the most valuable things are, since you've been doing this, what are the most valuable things you've learned or you've seen in your experience?
So if we think about just coming back to the sport yoga, the three things that I kind of learned on my course, which I now get nearly all my clients doing, whether they're personal training clients or sport yoga clients, is the back articulation and mobilization sequence. It's a 5-minute sequence. You can extend it to 10 minutes if you want to be very slow and precise about it. The minute you wake up in the morning, absolute winner. I mean, because I guess my client base is a little bit older, certainly my personal training clients, most of them have at some point suffered from niggly lower back injuries. I do myself. So this mobilization is a winner, and it can be done just the minute you jump out of bed, basically, or rather don't jump out of bed. Go slowly out of bed and then do your mobilization. Yeah. Then you can start jumping around. So spinal mobilization. The other one, a big one that I get all my clients doing, is glute activation work with a band. It's again, a simple program, and it's three sets of three exercises every single day, 6 weeks, getting that sort of neuromuscular programming. So when you're standing up, sitting down, you've got all three glute muscles firing up. It really helps lower back, sort of prevent knee injuries, ankle injuries. That's another one. And gliding flexibility stretches. Oh my God, I love those. I never ever knew about the gliding stretches until I did my course. So they're fabulous for post-training. So while your body's still in that sort of sympathetic nervous state, still in high alert, you just are able to glide the muscle into the stretch and off the stretch. So yeah, I love the gliding stretches. Got a lot of those on my Instagram feed. Yeah.
Very, very dynamic movements. I use those a lot with the extreme sports athletes I work with. They're wired a bit differently, as you can imagine, to the more traditional athletes. And having something challenging but also effective is a great tool to have in your toolbox for those kind of specific groups. So where would you say your biggest influence has come from this? What inspired you to do this in the first place?
Probably two or three things. I guess my husband is one of my biggest influences. He's a prime example of somebody that can work hard and train hard, but literally can't put his socks on. And I felt I needed to help him in a certain way, because I knew that as he was getting older and just looking at his posture, while he was really good at his chosen sport, you know, he was getting more kyphotic from the years of sitting at a desk, and I just felt I needed to do something that would help him. And I guess the other thing was, meeting Sarah Ramsden at the OM Yoga show, just going as somebody that enjoyed doing yoga, not necessarily looking to do a yoga course, but I did her class and I just thought, this is the yoga I want to teach. I love this. So she's been a real sort of influence. By meeting her and understanding how sport can be really beneficial for athletes. I've loved that. So yeah, those are my two entrants. Oh, and of course, I've got to mention Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal. What amazing athletes.
Well,
I love them.
But tennis, I suppose, if you're looking at a whole different area there of athleticism, I think some of the most diverse, if not the best athletes in the world, you've got to possess components of all types of fitness. And after just watching the Australian Open and the positions that Djokovic gets into,
he's unbelievable.
And I know I've seen a lot of his training videos. It's all based on that type of dynamic, explosive flexibility, deceleration, acceleration control, and it all links back to joint mobility and muscle flexibility. It's the key, really, a key foundation for it. I completely agree with you. So what would you say, Helena, your top resources are for information? Like, what did you, I suppose it's a two-part question. So where did you find out most of all this stuff, you know? And if people want to find out more information about sports yoga, where would you suggest that they look for that?
Well, if they want to know the sort of background to sport yoga and who's developed it, then they need to just Google Sarah Ramsden Sport Yoga, because she has all the information. She's developed the course. It's been very much spearheaded by her. She's developed the whole training program.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's also given us some great resources. So I've got a number of books that I refer to. Do you want to see them?
Yeah, please.
So these are my books that I refer to, which we used on our course. I love them. So we've got Anatomy of Movement. We've got Keeping Your Joints Young by Sarah Kay, very important for older people like me, and Functional Anatomy of Yoga. Fantastic. Love this book, really great.
Fantastic.
So I'm always, as you can see, they're heavily used and got lots of bookmarks in, and you know, I'm not a sports scientist. I don't have the level of knowledge that you do in terms of anatomy and physiology. But I have been a coach in some way, shape or form all my life. You know, I used to coach tennis in my 20s. So I think it's really about, you know, having a good sound knowledge. A lot of that technical information is not necessary to pass on to the end user, but you need to know it. You know, it's about being able to communicate well. And I guess working in sports and marketing all my life, I've been a communicator. So yeah. It's about getting that message across effectively to people. And then, of course, the internet, Google, fabulous resource. If I ever just need a quick answer to something, I don't know where a certain muscle is, I'll quickly go onto Google and have a look.
Brilliant. Well, I'll share all those links in the show notes. So for anyone listening, if you want to look into those in more detail, then click the links below. Where you're listening, you'll be able to go straight to those. A few more questions, Helena, because I promised I'd only keep you for an hour, and it's sunny outside, so I'm sure we don't want to stay indoors all day. What would you say your top exercises or drills are? Your at the moment, your favourite ones or your most used ones that you're using at the moment with people?
I think I already mentioned them, actually. It's the back mobilisation.
Right, okay, yeah.
So that's a little sequence, you know, the glute activation work. Always use that. Love doing the stability work. Always do a stability test with clients before any session to really, you know, understand, make them understand the difference between strong abs and a good core stability, two completely different things, which they get very muddled up. So they think if they can do 100 crunches that they've got good core stability. And that sometimes takes a bit of time to get them to understand how to recruit the abdominals to keep the pelvis and thorax in neutral versus bracing the core. And that's a concept that a lot of, I guess, the younger athletes are struggling with still.
Sure. So those most valuable things you learn are directly linked to the top exercises or series of exercises that you use today.
Yeah, definitely. I just find I weave my sport yoga into personal training.
Yeah, brilliant.
And the sport that I play as well.
Yeah.
So it's helped me as a tennis player. And hopefully I'll be playing tennis into my 80s like my mother.
Yeah, wow. That is...
And power walking like my grandmother, who's 103. So there you go. Just goes to show, keep active and you'll stay young.
That's fantastic. Well, there's some good genetics floating around. Fantastic. So what would you say to all our listeners, Helena, that would be your top pieces of advice? Our major listening groups are athletes from different levels. So we have pro athletes, semi-pro athletes, collegiate athletes, youth athletes. We have lots of coaches from different sports, strength and conditioning coaches, sports scientists. We also have lots of teachers and also parents. So it's quite a dynamic demographic. But what would you say the top pieces of advice would be to anyone listening who would be interested in sports yoga and would think about wanting to give it a go?
I guess, you know, as you alluded to earlier, flexibility and mobility are often those elements of a fitness training program that sort of tend to be pushed to the bottom of the pile just because people don't think that they are as important. And I think we've discussed how important they are.
Yeah.
So don't leave it for a rainy day. Don't leave it just because we're in lockdown. Absolutely get on to some form of flexibility, mobility, stability program. And whether that's with your strength and conditioning coaches, whether it's with a yoga teacher, ideally, I think, you know, some form of sports yoga is just more accessible for the athlete. Mm-hmm. And just find a program that works for you, that's effective. And you know, I would love them to come and try my program, and compare it to other sports yoga programs that might be out there. Although I don't think there are many sports specialist yoga programs out there. There are yoga programs which have been adapted for sport, and I'm sure they may be as equally as good, but I haven't personally come across them myself. So that would be one thing to look at. The other thing is just make sure you take a rest day. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of young athletes, I know ones that I've spoken to recently, they seem to be good at maybe two or three sports at the moment. They haven't chosen their one sport, and therefore they're every single day of the week, almost 365 days of the year, they're doing some form of training, mm-hmm. and they don't understand how important rest days are. And it's not until you've trained all your life that you realize that actually rest is super important.
Sure.
At every level. Maybe it's not just passive rest, it could be just doing a very gentle sort of stretch program.
Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of conversations with people over the last year about lockdown training-itis, I've called it, because they've got a lot more time on their hands, primarily because no one's commuting anywhere. So the time that they've saved by not having to travel is time that they could use to train. Not necessarily intensity of training going up, but the volume. So therefore, the overall stress on the body is going to be a lot greater. And the injuries then just keep happening. Or lot for a couple of reasons, really. A lot of it because the volume's gone up by itself, and they're just not robust enough to tolerate it. And the other reasons is that they've just pushed themselves harder than they think that they can go. So I think it's so important, especially during this time. And then hopefully we're coming out the other side of it now. But whether you're training a lot during lockdown to keep fit, or you're training a lot in lockdown for a specific sport, when we do get back to some form of normality, I think that emphasis on preparing and recovering is so important. I couldn't agree more with you. I wish I'd listened to my own advice when I was younger, because it would have saved me lots of trips to the surgeon's table and lots of missed opportunity for doing what I love. So thank you for sharing that with us. And that leads on really nicely, actually, for me to the last question is, where can people find you? And if they wanted to get in touch with you, maybe try one of your classes, how could they do that?
The best point of call is going via my website, which is www.vitalityhealth-fitness.co.uk, or my Instagram at vitalityhealthfitness, and DM me. I'm based in Berkshire, so I do all my local one-to-one training in Berkshire, where I have a studio, and we have a yoga studio as well. But the website can lead you to all the different places where you can get in touch and get involved in a course.
Sure. For those international listeners, there's the possibility for them to do virtual sessions too, is that right?
Yeah, I'm delivering about 8 to 10 hours of online training a week. Those are classes that I do, 4 open sessions and then one-to-ones as well. So that's an option. And of course, I run my retreats in Spain, which I didn't even mention. So coming in 2022, seeing as they've been cancelled this year, I'm probably going to run a sports yoga retreat in Spain next year. I run general wellness retreats, but yep, with the interest that I've had from sports people, I'll probably do a dedicated sports yoga retreat. Maybe you can come along and do the strength and conditioning side of things.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah, we'll definitely talk more about that. I mean, it just seems like a distant dream to be able to go somewhere other than our house. Or down the road for a walk. Yeah, but that sounds great. So I will put links to all of those in the show notes, guys. And if you are interested in getting in touch with Helena, then please click those links directly. And yeah, enjoy exploring and trying something new. So Helena, look, thank you very much for your time. Greatly appreciated. I've learned a lot today, and it's been great having you on the show. I hope lockdown doesn't last too much longer for you. And yeah, all the best with your sports yoga in the future.
Oh, thanks, Ryan. Thanks for inviting me. I've really enjoyed being on your podcast.
Thanks for listening to the 31st episode. We hope you enjoyed the show. It would really help us out if you could please leave a rating and or review on whatever platform you're listening on. Be sure to check out our website, www.extremesportsperformance.com. That has details about our in-person and online services, our in-person and online store, our in-person and online education, our media pages, our contact details, and how to subscribe for free to stay informed about company news and updates. Join our social media community on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Links to these can be found at the bottom of all pages on our website and via any search engine. Until next time, take care.